flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's quarterback who we're taking a look at is the guy who was here last year and was pretty good and pretty bad, all rolled into one. And that's Jameis Winston. Number to join us, 216-474-0092. We laid some things out last segment, why you should, maybe why you shouldn't, just what he did a little bit. I'm going to tell you some reasons why Jameis should be back here next year. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Dan Menigan.
Browns third drive beginning on the 11-yard line. Play fake to Chubb. Winston climbs the pocket under pressure. Eyes downfield. Throws caught by Judy on the run. 40. Midfield. Judy at the 45. 40. Saints 30. Judy. It's a foot race. 20. 10. Weaving. Touchdown.
Tearing up. Tearing up. Jameis had some moments last year. Moments don't necessarily mean you're going to be back. Why might he be back? I'll tell you in a minute. Dan's in Lakewood. Dan.
How are you, Dan?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much, man.
Hey, you know, Jeff, I think you're missing one thing about Mr. Winston here that, you know, when we benched him this year. I think there's two things that are very important. Number one, we got to look at DTR and Zappe. And I think we've learned that neither one of these guys need to be taking up a roster space on our team. I think that's the most important thing. We had to find out what them guys are, if they're worth keeping or not.
You know what, Dan? I understand what you're saying there. I don't think you actually needed to see them because I thought you already knew.
Personally. You know what? I agree with you, Jeff. I didn't need to see them. Maybe they needed to see them. I'm with you 100%. I didn't need to see them. Second of all, you said, what if Jameson would have won another game? What if he would have won two more games, okay? That would have done two bad things. That would have moved our draft way down. And more importantly, maybe since you want him back.
I want him back yet.
No. I got a voice for Jeff on this one. He did not say that.
Okay, I'm going to say that. You know, if you do want him back, if anybody wants him back, his price is going to be lower, wouldn't you think? You know, because he didn't get a chance to go out there and win them last two games.
Dan, that's an interesting thought. My guess is this, Dan, and Dan, thank you for those thoughts. They're good ones. My guess is this. Jameis last year showed some moments that made Kevin Stefanski just absolutely cringe. And he thought, this is not my kind of guy. And I would be really surprised if Jameis is back on this team next year. Now, our buddy Nick Shook, who writes for NFL.com, wrote a thing that Jameis maybe should be back on this team.
It was a really interesting thought that he had in his latest piece. I think it was like 7 quarterbacks who should possibly look to
where,
return.
And where they should go. And right. He had Jameis going to Cleveland.
He had him returning to the Browns. And honestly, it makes a level of sense. He's wonderful in the locker room. Everybody loves Jameis.
Supposedly. Yeah. Yes, that's what we hear.
Everybody loves Jameis. I mean, that's...
Except maybe the coaches, because he throws interceptions.
Yeah, if you don't like interceptions, you don't enjoy Jameis as much. But the players loved him. I mean, if you want the perfect example, go to the end of the New Orleans game and watch everybody line up to say hello to Jameis after that game. Like, it was ridiculous. It was, it honestly felt like you were like meeting a celebrity, the way that everybody was kind of lining up to give their hug and say hi to Jameis.
Let me give you some food for thought as to why he should be back. And again, I don't necessarily buy this, but let me tell you why. Okay. I'll play devil's advocate on this.
Let's go.
He started 7 games last year. Played in 5 others, but he threw only 12 passes in those other 5 games. You know, he was filling in for Deshaun and all. So I'm not counting those. He started 7 games. In those 7 games, just 7. Remember, they play 17. He was 26th in the league in passing yards in 7 games. He was 29th in attempts. He threw almost 300 times. He averaged 41 passes a game.
They were whipping it all
in
over.
In 7 games, he was 26th in the NFL in passing touchdowns.
Not shocking.
In 7 games with 13. And he was tied for 4th in interceptions.
That's
why you might, you know, not be there. But he was tied with 7 other guys. Will Levis, Anthony Richardson had comparable attempts, and they were there with him. 2 of the most disappointing quarterbacks in the NFL last year. He had a record of 2-5 as a starter. That's not good. But the other Browns starters were 1-9, and his 2 wins were against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That one sticks in my head. He was quarterbacking a Browns team that beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh this year. And I don't say that because they're big rivals. I say that because they're pretty good and they were playoff teams. And he beat them.
Yeah.
And
gave Denver a run for their money.
And he gave Denver a real run for, and he threw for 497 yards, and he screwed up a couple of times. And this one sticks with me more than anything. When did Cedric Tillman look his best? When did Elijah Moore look his best?
Dude was on a milk carton.
Certainly. When did Jerry Jeudy look his best? Mm-hmm. When Jameis was playing quarterback. And if Kevin Stefanski, if Tommy Rees, who obviously didn't coordinate him last year, but was the pass game, whatever fill-in-the-blank title they want to give him, if they think, yeah, we saw it, we don't have any interest, well, then you just don't bring him back. But I think you could do worse than have Jameis as your starter at the beginning of next year as you groom a young guy, either somebody you sign, you know, we've talked about some of the young guys you could sign, or somebody you draft, and not necessarily at 2 overall. And if Jameis was the veteran that you bring in, Dan, okay. Because he did have some moments last year.
He took an offense that was grotesque and unwatchable. And made it.
The word grotesque isn't used often enough.
That offense was gross. That Deshaun Watson offense was gross.
God, it was awful.
It hurt to watch. Like it.
He didn't have more than 190 yards passing. You bring this guy in, and he has 2 of the top 8 games in the NFL passing wise in just 7 starts.
And I know some people out there will start going, "Well, it's because Kevin Stefanski gave up the play calling, and it's because of that." Yeah, it's like, no. The same plays were being run. The quarterback was just able to find open wide receivers now. Like, that's what happened in between this whole thing. You can ask anybody who was watching tape during these games. They will all come back to you and tell you the same thing, which is the plays were the same. Someone was just finding the guy that was open. And so I'm in. Look, you don't have to convince me twice. Of the options that you have thrown out to this point, he might be the best one of the veteran out there. Of just, hey, let's just bring Jameis back for one more year. Let's let him start off. And yes, I know, Kevin, he's going to throw picks. He's going to be Jameis Winston. He's going to say some silly things.
Which I don't think Kevin can tolerate.
And that would be the thing that would stop.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's looking at this team and going, okay, who makes an offense look passable while also being good for younger quarterbacks to help them work their way up and maybe can teach a thing or two, just, you know, some of the stuff when the pick throwing kind of falls under the do as I say, not as I do, and learn from there, Jameis might be the best one you've thrown out to this point.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I wonder if Kevin Stefanski, if Tommy Rees think, well, okay, we didn't do the best job we could do to get him ready because he didn't, you know, he wasn't the starter early on. And maybe we can coach some of that stuff we don't like out of him. I'd be hard pressed to believe they think that.
I do too.
I don't think they think that. And that to me, Dano, is why I don't think Jameis will be back here next year.
I don't think so either. I think they know what they know of Jameis Winston and
would rather take another shot at somebody else.
I think they would rather live in a world of here's Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's made of glass.
Here's Daniel Jones.
You're higher on him than I am.
Here's Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. I know he can't move, but we can play point and shoot quarterback with him.
And they're going to bring in somebody of this ilk mm-hmm. to be in that quarterback group next year.
Yep.
Somebody like this will be in that group.
It makes sense, but if I'm living in a world where all I want to do is put out fun, watchable football, Jameis Winston is really high on that list.
But they can't do that because they have to win or they're not going to be here.
Exactly. And that's why, well, it's what made last season what it was with Jameis in there. Because, A, it went from grotesque to watchable. And, like, you'd sit down every Sunday, you go, I have no idea what in the world is going to happen. But I can tell you he's going to fling it all over the place. And I can tell you he's going to find a couple open guys and he's going to hit some deep balls and he's going to take some shots. And then he's going to do some stuff that's going to just make my head hurt.
Dano, he was wildly entertaining.
Hell yeah, he was.
In the Pittsburgh win, in the snow, oh my God, that's a memory for Browns fans. In the Denver game.
The Monday Nighter in Denver.
I know he threw two interceptions. Oh my God, that was fun. And the Browns looked good on offense.
When Juan Thornhill in that New Orleans game, I don't want to say totally dogged it, but yeah, he got yelled at for it. He kind of got called out for the fact that he didn't go after the deep ball or anything like that. And then Jameis comes in and whips it to Jerry Jeudy. It like woke everybody up and it was like, okay, we can hang, we can throw, we can do this. Like,
we have an offense that's not necessarily dead in the water.
And it's going to put points on the board. Is it great? No. Is it sustainable? Maybe. Are we going to throw picks? You bet. But like, at least it was watchable. And I know that is a low, low bar. And I know Browns fans want to live in a world where your offense is more than watchable. And by the way, you should live in that mm-hmm. world. It's not a high bar.
If they were to decide that Jameis is that guy who fills that role of we're bringing back a veteran and we're going to put him here and we're going to play him for a while as while we groom a young guy, whether it be somebody in the draft or whether it's one of the young free agents who they think they might be able to salvage, I think you could do worse than Jameis.
I also think you can do worse than Jameis. And I think some of the names that you've thrown out to this point have been worse than Jameis.
Should I give up on any notion, and I think I have, any notion that Jameis could be a long-term starting quarterback for any team in the NFL?
No. I would give up that notion in a minute.
You would give that notion up?
Oh, yeah. He's not a long-term starting quarterback.
What about for Pete Carroll in Vegas?
No way. Especially Pete Carroll, who is like very much, if it was up to Pete Carroll, you would run the ball 50 times a game and throw it 12. Like, that's how Pete Carroll would want to play. He would have three running backs, and he would run the ball 50 times with those three running backs and would tell the quarterback, you will throw 8 times and you will go 6 for 8. And if you don't go 6 for 8, we'll find somebody to go 6 for 8. Pete Carroll is the old school football coach of like, they're, every time you throw the ball, 3 things happen and 2 of them are bad. Like, he lives that life. No. Jameis plus Pete Carroll would be, it would be A-plus television, but it would be horrendous actually watching.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Jameis is going to have a job next year. I wouldn't, if I had to right now say this is where I think he's going to be, I would guess that he's going to be the backup to Bo Nix in Denver.
I could see that back
with
Sean Payton.
Yeah, I would think that's where he's going to end up.
I could see him as the starter for like Tennessee
for a short period of time.
Yeah, as you bring along Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Or I could see him as the starter of the Giants.
Which is what you could have here, except we kind of think that the Browns are going to turn the page based on what they saw last year.
I think Kevin Stefanski would have to have in like an AED within arm's reach if you were to bring Jameis Winston back for him.
All right, well, that's let's find us a quarterback. And it might be the guy we already had, but neither one of us thinks so. We don't think so. Coaching moves in the NFL. One of them makes perfect sense. The other one is like a Scooby-Doo mystery drama that I just love. Let's dig into this next on Baskin and Phelps and Brian Anderson coming up in, 25 minutes right here on The Fan.